I'm saying she's not. God bless you. Today is September 5th, 2020, and my name is Mary Ellen Saunders, and I'm so privileged to share from God's Word as part of this Faithful in Christ Women's Day Zoom Fellowship. The title of my sharing is Knowing God's Word, Growing in Knowing. It takes time. Seeking God, focusing on His Word, patience, and community. And we are never done. And we really get into trouble when we try to rush the process, we neglect God's Word, or isolate from a community that could be a real blessing to us in our stage of growth. So I'd like to begin with a prayer that, Lord, You are with me, that You are energizing my words, and that they would be only words that You would have spoken in this time. In Your Son's name, amen. Well, I love that Nellie picked the butterfly to put on our flyer for this month. The life cycle of the butterfly in many ways parallels our spiritual journey. Butterfly starts out as a caterpillar, eating, devouring the leaves and growing and getting fatter, and then it kind of goes away into the chrysalis stage, hiding away in order to emerge more like what God had in mind from the beginning, this beautiful butterfly that we see behind Marty. And we know that knowing God's Word is paramount to living the more abundant life that Jesus came to make available to us. And I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. There are many verses that tell us that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. The man of God is perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, as we're told in 2 Timothy, by knowing His Word. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." And in those verses, that knowledge is the Greek word epigenosko. And it's not just, oh, I heard about it one day, I heard a teaching, I'm familiar with it. No, it's a knowledge that changes us. It's a full experiential knowledge that changes us from the inside out. You get it, you know it, and you know how to apply it. Getting to this point takes time. Just as it takes time to mature physically and intellectually and emotionally, it takes time to mature spiritually. And we see references in God's Word to being babes in the Word, being children in the Word, being an adult, being a parent, being a husband or a wife. We even see God and Jesus being referred, Jesus being the husband and the church is the bride. References to being an elder. And I'm increasingly seeing the need to be aware of each of these stages and to respect them. So I'd like to just take briefly a look at each one of those stages. Let's turn to, just flip over a page to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verses 2 and 3, we're encouraged to, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is good, or gracious, as it says in some translations. Salvation, we are born again, we relearn who we are loved, we have peace with God, we have peace in our hearts, we grow in experiencing the love of God, both intellectually and in community with other believers. We know that we were called and predestined. God has been orchestrating our whole life to bring us to this point of salvation. We are learning that He is our alone as our provider, and we start growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. And in verses 22 and 23, in all of this ingesting, we want to be growing in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We never want to lose that love base, that joy base, that peace base as we grow in our knowledge of God and His Word. And many places in His Word exhort us to never lose that full experiential knowledge of that epigenosko of being loved and provided for by a loving Heavenly Father. And as we go through this stage, we are studying God's Word more deeply and we move into the child stage. We start living God's Word out in community. And God's Word also tells us the danger in this stage. And we can read that in Ephesians chapter 4, because we are said that there is a great danger, as God's Word tells us, that children in understanding can be easily blown about with every wind of doctrine. And this so easily confused, so easily jumped to conclusions. And we really need to get through that, not just, oh, I'm confused, give it up. No, we know that God's Word makes sense. We know that God's Word is our rule for faith and practice. So we come back and we say, oh, help me understand. Like that child that doesn't understand his math. Come back, help me understand. We go to God, we go to His Word, we go to His people so that we understand the whole Word, not just parts of the Word, or we take the Word out of context. We are able to live life as God intended it. And we see a little bit from the lives of David. We're not told a whole lot about what's happening in this child stage, but we can see from the lives of David and Jesus of ideally what is happening. From David, we see that this childhood and early teen years are times of growing and are living out our faith, learning what we are good at, and growing in our connection with God. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, where we see that David was growing in his connection with God and growing in the physical skills that God had equipped him with. And in 1 Samuel 17 and verses 36 and 37, and you can read the whole record, it's great. He said, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." He didn't wake up and just go to the camp and show up with these skills. He developed them over time, this connection with his own skill and God working with him. And our children and us, as we are growing in God's Word, are doing the same thing. From Jesus, we see that childhood is a great time of devouring God's Word and be turning to Luke chapter 2, getting the Word both into his head and into his heart, and most very importantly, learning humility, doing things God's way, in God's timing, and not in his own. And in Luke chapter 2, as the whole record starts in verse 39, but we're going to go, we see from verse 41 and 42 that his parents went up to the feast of the Passover every year. And verse 42, when he was 12, they went up after the custom of the feast. And as we skip down, they go to the feast and they're packed up and they're going home and they're like, "Wait a minute, we thought Jesus was here. Where is he?" And they go to find him. And then they're looking for him in verse 46. "And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." And verse 47, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when his parents saw him, they were amazed." They were like, "Man, I knew he was asking questions, but we had no idea of all that was in his mind and all the questions he had." And then, so he probably had a stern talking to. And in verse 51, it says, "And he went down with them." He rejoined the family. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother, kept all these things in her heart, all the things that she had seen. And verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. And that's really all we know factually about him until he was baptized by John the Baptist at age 30. We can surmise that a lot was happening. Jesus was devouring his father's word, getting to know it inside and out, probably making some mistakes, kind of like going to his father going like, well, I quoted them scripture. Why are they not getting this? And then the Lord leading him to kind of be reading and thinking and to the story of Nathan and David. Oh, maybe a story, and him growing in all of those skills. And we see references to this kind of growth in the epistles, and I'll just mention a few of them. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, we're encouraged to grow more and more in our judgment. In Hebrews 5:14, we're encouraged to have our senses exercised that we may grow thereby. And in all of this, he was learning humility so that he could completely subject himself to his father's will. And I sense he was growing in this even as late as the Garden of Gethsemane. He just did not want to do that, but he had practiced and grown and every day learning more. Such that he was growing in all of his knowledge, hearing his father's voice, knowing the Old Testament, understanding his heart, such that when he emerged on the world stage, he was ready. He could know who to quote scripture to when he quoted the scripture at the devil. However, he wasn't limited. He could know how to apply it, when to do a parable, when to do a story, when to ask a question, when to just sit down and doodle in the ground, as he did with the woman caught in adultery. Healing. When to just command the man with the withered hand, stretch it forth. When to spit on the ground and create a mud salve. When to say, thy sins be forgiven, take up thy bed and walk. And I find especially fascinating, he's asked the same question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, by two different people, the record one in Luke 18 and then again in Mark 10. And he has a slightly different response and slightly different approach. It gets to the same conclusion, but it's a different response. And we want to be growing in our complexity, our ability to apply God's word. And I'd like to note that it took Jesus at least 18 years from the time he was 12 until the time he was 30 before he could flawlessly execute, and that it became true that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, that we are told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And this sense of this time away and learning and growing, learning to apply, we see it also in the great apostle Paul. He became a believer as an adult with an incredible knowledge of the Old Testament, but he spent many years not in the public eye after he was born again. And he refers to this in Galatians chapters 1 and 2. And I can only imagine what he and God were talking about, filling in where he had missed Messiah in the Old Testament and missed that Jesus was Messiah, and then living, experiencing forgiveness for all that he had done that was so egregious. And from all these examples, we see in our lives needing to help follow this example of growing and learning, seeing our gifts emerge as we take on more and more responsibility and contribute to the body of Christ. And we see cautions of not wanting to rush things, wanting to really immerse ourselves in God's word and living it out. And we see the need for taking this time in the epistles. We have the epistles to help us know what it is to be a husband, know what it is to be a wife, book of Corinthians, 1 and 2, tell us all of the instructions that we sometimes might need if our culture is like completely off from what God had in mind. But to not rush it, and I'd like to have you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And in this section, we are talking about, Paul is talking to Timothy, about the different roles of leadership within the church. And in verse 6, it says very specifically, he must not, anybody called into leadership must not be a novice, lest he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report from those that are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. And if we read on throughout chapter 3, chapter 4, we continue into 1 and 2 Peter, and in many places in the epistles, we are encouraged to take our time to get in the Word, make sure we understand the whole of it, and that's the only way that we will be able to avoid the false teachers that will come in, teaching heresies, people teaching out of, itching ears will get into all kinds of quote arguments about this word and that word and miss the point of what God was trying to communicate. We need to take time in the Word to really understand it and to be able to apply it and be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11, to search those scriptures to see if those things were so. And then go on to have our senses exercised by reason of use and be meek to learn where we don't have everything right. And I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 18. And we may have the big things right. And in this case, in the story about Apollos, he had some pretty big things. There were some big holes missing. But there's always things we can learn, always things that we I don't quite understand God's word in that way. So here in Acts 18, we have the example of Apollos in verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough understanding of the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor. And he taught about Jesus accurately, although he knew only the baptism of John. And so he was acting out, living out what he knew, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. And he acknowledged, he was a great learned man, but he acknowledged, oh, wow, I didn't get it. I didn't get the memo, as we say in the United States. I didn't get that text. He embraced the new knowledge. And then in verse 27, such that when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. And when he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. In verse 28, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. So God used all that learning. Once he came into a more full knowledge, used that great learning in many, many ways. And even as much as I'm talking about timing and, not taking time to mature, when we have arrived, regardless of our age, act and do. Let's turn to, I'd like to invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy was able to contribute and minister and lead at a much younger age than one might have expected. And Paul is exhorting him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 12 to not let anyone look down on you because you are young. And in earlier in the book, he had mentioned that Timothy had been learning scripture from his grandmother and from his mother. So he was really well grounded in the scripture. And he had been learning from Paul. And so Paul felt he was ready but people might look at him and say, "You're just a kid." Well, he was, but he had great heart and great knowledge and great understanding of how to apply it, so that he could be an asset at a much younger age than you might expect. And by the same token, Apollos, he could be a much stronger advocate, asset to the church after just learning the totality of God's word just a short time ago. But I'd like to point out here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, even with all of this basis, all of this background, he still had to be reminded to stay in the basics. In verse 13, Paul tells him, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, that they that your profiting may appear to all." Oh, excuse me. My eyes flipped up. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." He needed to be reminded to stay in God's word. Just because he'd known it since he was four, he still needed to be reminded of God's love. And in verse, the fact that all of us, no matter how old we are, still need to be open to correction. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says to rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. If elders didn't ever need correction, this verse wouldn't be in the Bible. And this makes it so clear that we need community and we all need humility. No one is exempt. Peter, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul recounts having publicly had to rebuke him because as a leader, his actions had huge consequences. Peter, who had walked with Jesus and had the rooftop experience in Acts 10 with God showing him that God was no respecter of persons, even he, right place, or I should say wrong place, wrong time, was able to be swayed away from this freedom in Christ, that we are all members of the body of Christ. Even he was able to be led astray, so that we don't we have never arrived such that we don't need to be in God's word, reminding ourselves of what it really says versus what we think it says or someone else says. We always need to be purifying our motives, learning more and more how to apply it. Every time we enter into a new phase, a new role in life, maybe move to a new community, we want to continually going back to God's word for guidance so that we are continuing to live out the fruit of the Spirit, having that love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And my prayer for each one of us is that we patiently grow in our knowledge and understanding of Scripture. And as it says in Colossians 1:9, that we continually, Paul prayed that we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened and with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and that we can all say like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "We have fought the good fight," and each one of you ladies can say that, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." Lord, I pray that you're with each one of these ladies, that you strengthen and energize them, and they continue to grow in your word and become the mature elders shining as lights in the world. In your Son's name, amen.